Here's what it says in verse 23. And the man said, the New Living Translation, "At last." And I think he said, "Whoa, man, look at this creature. At last, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man." Then it goes on to say in verse 24, "For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God made us different so that we could be one. Amen? Amen? I don't have to give you all the scenarios how people cannot be one, because this is how people can become one. Adam and Eve are both created in God's image. They were both had a body, soul, and spirit, but they have different attributes, different strength. A man is a protector, provider. A woman is naturally a nurturer, a carer, a sharer. Together, a husband and wife make a great team. Amen? Amen. John Gray wrote several books. One of them was "Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus." One of his other books, he wrote about how in his counseling, he discovered that there were men who were married to women that looked like models, but these men had lost complete interest in their wives. They were not attracted to them any longer. And he thought it was strange. So he did some research, and he discovered that for a man to be attracted to his wife for the long haul, you know, for better, for worse, for richer, poor, until death do us part, kind of a marriage, the man has to connect with his wife on four levels. Emotional, intellectual, physical, and what do you think the fourth level is? Spiritual. And a lot of times men and women don't connect very well on the spiritual side because, you know, everything else works good, but everybody has to work on that. So could it be that our Creator designed us in such a way that to have the intimacy that He wants, it's more than just physical attraction? Amen? I mean, we're initially first attracted physically because that's what we see, but it has to be much more than that. Now, someone has said that there are three rings in a marriage. First, there's the engagement ring, then there's the wedding ring, and then there's the suffering. Now, I don't believe that in the bad way of things. Like, well, you get married and then it's going to be bad news. No, I think it's great news. Marriage is great. Amen? Amen. It is. Amen. But here's where the suffering can come in, because no longer it's all about you. Now it's about both of you. So one of the suffering parts of marriage is to become one that you got to let go of completely just who you are, because it's not all about you. Now it's about the two of you. God wants to make you one. You know, He wants to do that. And so yeah, there is some suffering there when our pride has to go and our ego has to go and what we want to do has to submit to what we both want to do together. Everybody understand? If you've been married for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. So if you want to have a marriage that rocks, you've got to learn your role. Husbands got to learn their role. Women have to learn their role. There's a blueprint, and God set that up. You know, when you think about it, you can't run a successful company and let everybody do what they want. Well, you can be the boss today, and you'd be the cleaning guy. And you know, you can't show up to work and just do what you want. Everybody has roles. They have jobs. They have a specific. You know, you have a ball team. You got a football team. You know, somebody has to be the quarterback. Everybody can't be the quarterback. And, you know, everybody can't do that because somebody's got to go route for a run for a pass. Somebody's got to carry. Somebody's got to block. Amen? So this whole thing about not having defined roles, it doesn't work in business. It doesn't work in sports. Or really, it doesn't work anywhere. So when God created this, I'll read this again. "For this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father, you know, cleave to his wife." And that there's a whole message about that. "And they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, were not ashamed." Okay? So God established marriage. And so there's roles for men and women I want to talk about. But before I get specific, let me get the scripture out. Ephesians 5, this Paul talks about this. I'm not going to read every verse. So pay attention to what verses I'm reading. This is verse 1 and 2. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." Okay? "And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We're skipping down to verses 15 through 17. "Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Verse 18 through 20. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, these are kind of a setup in our own personal spiritual life. And then the subtitle for these next verses, beginning with verse 21, it says, "Instructions for Christian Households." Now, if you don't want to have a Christian household, then you can, you know, start Googling on your phone right now, whatever. But if you want to have a Christian household, if you want to do things, you know, have the role that God says, then listen to this. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then it gets a little bit more specific. Wives, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, in which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives. There we have it again. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and cared for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Verse 31, 32, 33. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, the two will become one flesh. Here's Paul, and now Paul gets into the spiritual side of this. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, so Paul mentions some things that Jesus did. They refer back to the beginning when God created things, and so this is there. So, okay, what is God's role for husbands? Guys, we'll talk to you first. Number one, husbands lead. He's a leader. Verse 23 says, for husbands the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior, he's the head. Jesus is the leader of the church. He's the good shepherd. What kind of leader is the man supposed to be? He's not supposed to be a dictator. He's supposed to be a servant leader. Amen? One lady of our church, a dear lady, she's passed on now, but she was so funny. She said, yeah, in our house, my husband, he's the head of this house. He certainly is. He's the head of this house, but I'm the neck. So you think about that a minute. But anyway, he's a smart man. She was a smart lady. They understood this. The disciples were having an argument one day, but who is the greatest? And here's what the Lord said. He said, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercised authority over them called themselves benefactors. But you, he's talking to us, but you, and he's talking to us as creators, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to see. But to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. In John chapter 13, they're at the Last Supper. You know what Jesus does? He takes the lowliest job of any servant possible, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. Friends, the husband is the head. He's to be a servant leader. He's to serve his wife. He's to serve his family. It means he helps her. He helps her around the house. He helps with the kids. He's an example to her. He makes home a godly place and a safe place. If you've ever played tag, and my grandkids love to play tag, one of the first things you do is pick home base. You know what I'm talking about? Go back to your childhood. And if you're standing on a home base, you can't be tagged. You can't be out. It's a safe place. Home is supposed to be a safe place in every regard. And the man's supposed to take the lead in that. Guys, we're supposed to take the lead in that. Now a good man realizes his wife's strengths because she can really help do a lot of those things with you. Amen? I want you to hear this quote from a Hollywood icon who lived some years ago. This is a lady, and here's what she said. And you'll be surprised when I tell you who said this. She said, millions of words have been written on how a man should love a woman. I would like to give you my reflections on the things a man should not do in loving a woman. First, don't yield your leadership. That's the main thing. Don't hand us the reins. We would consider that an abduction on your part. It would confuse us. It would alarm us. It would make us pull back. Quicker than anything else, it would fog the clear vision that made us love you in the first place. Oh, we will try to get you to give up your position as a number one in the house. That's a terrible contradiction in us. We will seem to be fighting you for final authority on everything for a while, but in the obscure recesses of our hearts, we want you to win. You must win, for we aren't really made for leadership. It's just a pose. You know who said that? Somewhere over the rainbow, Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland said that. She had 5 husbands and 4 divorces. So I think she didn't say what she said until probably the 5th marriage. You with me on this? Because she obviously was a smart lady, you know, well known. Men, don't abdicate your leadership. Husbands lead. Secondly, husbands love. The husband is to be the prime leader and the prime lover. Eve was made from Adam's rib, not from a bone in his foot. Amen. She was taken from his side, near his heart, so that she would be loved and protected by him. Ephesians 5, you know, it's here again. You know, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And how do you love? He gave his life for the church. God goes on in the next 9 verses to say 2 more times, husbands to love his wife. Now, if God says something once, we better pay attention. If he says it 3 times in 9 verses, you know, that's like a bright light in the star in the sky. You know, love your wife. Amen? Now, loving your wife involves, I think, 4 things. Okay? You love her by cherishing her. That's holding her close. She's your lost rib, so hold her close. Cherish her. How do you cherish her? You praise her a lot. You say good things about her. You just bless her in every way that you can. You just, you know, highlight all the good. You just cherish her. You know, she's, you know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. That's a good thing that God helped you find. Cherish her. The second thing, you love her by including her. Okay? You include her in your life. It's a known fact that women talk more than men, and men do most of their talking at work, and they come home, and they're all talked out, but she wants to be in touch. She wants to be included. She wants you to listen to her. Very important, guys. You need to listen to your wife, because she's got some good things to tell you. Now, this, I'm not good at this by just being a yakety-yak about things, but I need to get better, and it's right. She wants to be included in my, how was your day? It was good. Well, tell me about your day. Yeah, well, I went to work, you know. Well, they want to know details. Women want to know details about things, you know. You know, most of us guys, when I read something online or the paper, well, I don't read the paper anymore, but, you know, when you're looking for news, I read the headline. Then I decide if that headline is catching my attention or I want to read any details. Okay? You know, the lady wants the details. You hear me? So part of loving her is including her in your life, what it is that you do. Thirdly, you love your wife by providing for her. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that women can't work. That doesn't mean that at all. But you provide for her. You provide for opportunities so that she can grow, so that she can be blessed, so that she can, do what she needs to do that feels God has put in her heart. And fourthly, you love her by protecting her physically, emotionally, spiritually, every way that you can. You protect her. Protect your wife, guys. So that's just 2 things, lead and love. That's only 2. But those are 2 huge things that have got a whole lot of minor details that go with it. So, guys, this is our role as men that are married. So those of you guys that aren't married, this is what you can prepare for. Prepare to be a leader. Prepare to be a lover in the way that the Bible talks about love. So what is God's role for wives? Okay, I got 25 things here. No. I'm just seeing if you're listening. Okay. I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Be your husband's helper. Now, here's what the Bible says. Not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And he created a woman. He created Eve. She's the helper suitable for him, corresponded to him. Like him, not the same as him, right? Now, immediately when somebody hears that word, well, that's a lousy deal. I'm made just to be somebody's helper. You know, that's kind of menial. That's a kind of a meek position. But that's not what helper means. Biblically, it doesn't mean that. Helper is a lofty term, not a lowly term. Did you hear me, ladies? It's a lofty term. It's not subservient term when the Lord himself says that I'm going to make a helper suitable. In fact, at times in Psalm, God calls himself a helper of us. Jesus said in John 14:26, talking about a helper, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, is called a helper, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So listen, there's total equality in the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the helper. That's his role, to help us. You know, the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. It helps us to understand the Word of God. Helps us to live this Christian life. In the book of Titus, a book that's not read very much, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it gives kind of a job description for women. It says, likewise, teach the old women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger woman to love their husbands and children, be self-controlled and pure, be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of the Lord. Margaret Mead, who is an American cultural anthropologist, has studied the cultures her whole life, and she said this: women are happiest not when given position and power, but when the created contributions of the maternal role are upheld, when being a wife and a mother are viewed as important and respectable. Amen. She says when women understand that, now again, it doesn't mean they can't work outside the home, because many of them do, and they do well with that, and they still have those maternal instincts as a mother, you know, and as a wife. But when all that together, man, listen, this is their role. So how do wives help their husband? Okay? You help your husband by respecting him. Yeah. Respecting him. In his famous book, Love and Respect, the author breaks down the problem in marriage to two words, love and respect. Husbands are supposed to love their wives. Wives are supposed to respect their husbands. And I read it in Ephesians 5:33. It summed up the whole relationship. And let the wife see it to it that she respects her husband. Now that word respect means to be in awe of her husband. So how does a husband spell love? The same way Aretha Franklin does. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. Okay? Men need respect from the most important person in his life, which is his wife. And a husband's supposed to love his wife. A wife is supposed to respect her husband. Now here's where everything breaks down. When the husband doesn't show love to his wife, she might say, get a little disrespectful, right? You know, overcook the grits or something. Or it can get ugly. If they don't take care of this and bring it before, it can get ugly. And so the natural guy says, man, I don't want to go home to that. I'll just work longer. I'll play in a sports team. I'll do all these things because I don't want to. I want to be around people that at least respect the job that I do or respect me. So, and then a wife says, "Well, I'm just not going to do all these things that I'm supposed to do if my husband doesn't even love me." Yeah, you see how this can go? Somebody, you know, just has to say, "I'm going to do this God's way and trust God." We sang a lot about trust and in the Lord. Sometimes the things that we do in our marriage, we do it by faith. We do it, and I'm telling you that if we do our part, you know, the Lord will intervene and things will come back around. Secondly, wives, help your husband by following his lead. Okay? His job description is to be the head, to be the designated driver. Now listen, ladies, that doesn't mean you follow him into sin. Doesn't mean you're a doormat. It doesn't mean that you let him abuse you. You're allowing him to be your leader. Some guys aren't good leaders. They need lots of prayer from you. They need lots of your grace. They need lots of your help. And ladies, God has gifted you to give him that help in a way that he might not even know he's getting your help. Come on. But help him. Just follow his lead. And that's where faith comes in, because it causes a woman just to trust the Lord. That this is the guy in my life. This is, you know, the one that I've pledged, you know, until death do us part. And so God, help him to be a good leader so that I can be a good follower. So there's lots of prayers that go there. Thirdly, wives, help your husband by encouraging him. Amen. Proverbs 12:4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decoying his bones. There's not a man in this room or a man on the planet that doesn't want to hear from his wife that he's the champion of her heart. No one can encourage a man like his wife can. So ladies, God created you with this critical role to be the helper, to come alongside, to render aid, to be a wife, to be an encourager, to make a difference. And if you want to, you know, have your marriage that rocks, you've got to do your role. Guys, we've got to do our role. Now, remember that I mentioned that three times God says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, you love your wife. You know, don't just tell her at the wedding, I love you, and if it changes, I'll let you know. That's got to be said every way, and it's got to be shown by those four things: cherishing, including, protecting, providing. You just find all the ways to do that. And wives, you got to respect and encourage your husband. He needs that. Whether he deserves it or not, he needs you to be his biggest cheerleader. Amen. You know, he might not can do everything. You know, he might not can fix everything or understand everything, but you can encourage him and bless him for what it is that he does well. Now, I want to close with this little thought to put in your mind here. It's very, very interesting. Adamah. He was made from the ground, Adamah. So guys, we're the soil. Our wife is like the flower. And if your wife is not blooming, is it her fault or is there something wrong with the soil? Are you not building her up? Are you not loving her? Are you not leading her? Are you not getting her the things that she needs to grow and blossom? It's a big responsibility. That's why in Ephesians 5, before God talks about the husband loving his wife or the wife respecting her, remember those early verses I was telling you? That's a setup for all of us as Christians. And one of them says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Friends, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us.
That's right.
We have the power to do these things. Whether we have the want to or not, that's a different... But we have the power to do everything that we need to do. I mean, all of us have the ability to make our home wonderful. You know, guys, we have a big response. Love and lead. You know, it's not easy in today's age. And ladies, you have a big responsibility. So, you know, do you want your marriage to rock? Yield to the Lord and start fulfilling your role, because that's what God will hold us accountable for if we do our part. We don't have any say in what our spouse might do, but if we do our part, I think it's going to work out. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage, this is God's word. Some of you are sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, I know this, I've heard, I know, but now maybe you know a little bit better so you can talk to other people, and they got all these definitions of what a marriage is, you know. And friends, we're living in difficult times.
Amen.
Now, we're not supposed to be Holy Ghost thumpers and fighters, you know, to beat people up that don't believe like we do. Listen, the Holy Spirit can get through to people's hearts. In fact, no one can come to the Lord except the Holy Spirit lead them. But God uses us sometimes to plant seeds in people's lives, to water, you know, that seed that's been planted so that they grow to the understanding. You know, hey, here's what God's word says. Here's what really works. You know, we're not down on people who believe differently or act differently. And if it's our, and if some of our children or relatives, you know, how do we act in those situations where they have different aspects about marriage? Or they marry someone that the Bible says you shouldn't marry that person. Well, we need a lot of prayer to know how to, and a green light from the Lord if we go in and say something about it. You with me on that?
Amen.
Remember what I read that it said, you know, when we do these things, we do it with gentleness and respect, you know, because everybody is made in God's image. But what they do in their life, the choices they make leads them where they are. And so... so we can make those same choices to come back where God needs us to be. Amen. I just want you to be encouraged today. You know, marriage is awesome. So young ladies, young men, don't be afraid to get married. But, you know, are you the person, are you becoming the person you are looking for? Are you right now, are you just looking for the right person to marry and think, that's all I'm going to do is I'm going to look and I hope I find the right, or are you becoming the right person? See, that's your job. Young ladies, become the right person. Become godly in Christ Jesus. Know what the word says. Know what your role will be one day when you get married. Just treat all other guys as your brother in Christ until, you know, it goes a little bit beyond that, you know. And guys, you treat all these young ladies as your sister in Christ until, you know, something might transpire that might lead to marriage, you know. Amen. I always told our young people when I was a youth pastor, you know, wait to date till you're ready to mate. Don't get all serious and all this stuff until you think that you're at the age, you're the maturity where, hey, listen, I'm ready for where the Lord might lead me next. And then... you know, do it as the Lord would have you do. Does that make sense? I hope it does. But God's way works.
Amen.
So if any of us are a little bit not been doing what we need to do with our role, hey, today's a good day to, you know, don't do 100 things today because your spouse will expect 100 things tomorrow. But hey, just get back in the right direction and let the love of Christ, you know, and here's even a bigger deal. It's not in my notes, but I feel to let you know. The Bible says something like this. One can send 1,000 to flight. And it's talking about spiritual warfare. One person in their prayer life, in their, you know, intimacy with the Lord and doing God's will can, you know, can, and I don't know what that exactly they're talking about, you know, 1,000, you know, spirit, whatever. But it says two in agreement can deal with 10,000.
That's right.
So we're not talking addition, we're talking multiplication. So how much effectiveness in prayer and spirituality can a husband and wife have if they're not together in the prayer life and the spiritual things, which is one of those four things I mentioned that husbands and wives need to be one together in all those. Is that making sense? So listen, understand that marriage is not just to make you happy, it's to make you holy. Everything that Jesus taught, all the fruit of the Spirit is developed in the opposite circumstance. You know, where do you learn goodness? Well, where things aren't good. Where do all the fruit of the Spirit really show themselves? At home. At home, in family, with brothers and sisters and moms and dads and fathers and mothers and kids and all that stuff. We grow in the Lord that way. So this is important. And friends, if the church gets this right, and most of the Christians get this right, then it's going to have its effect in society. Amen?
Amen.
then politicians will start be elected that come from good families, that have a good family, that uphold a good family. Because all the legislation, I don't care who gets voted into all these, if they're not a believer, and if they're not, in their attempt to do things God's ways, then friends, all the policies that they want to adopt, all the things that they throw money at, things don't work unless we do it God's way. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word today. And I know, God, it's hard. I know that in some folks here this morning, this marriage didn't work for them, and it didn't go well for whatever reason. God, this is not a message about blame. It's a message about responsibility. God, that all of us from this point forward can take your word and the way that you have spoken it to us, and we can do our part. Father, I pray that you'll heal any wounded hearts in here this morning from any marriage difficulties, from any relationship difficulties. I pray, Lord, that you'll give mothers and fathers and grandparents strength today, God, as they deal with some of their family members that have grown up in this new culture. Lord, they've heard all this wokeness and all this nonsense that's out there that's so totally against the word of God. God, we have to separate the sin from the sinner and know how to speak to people's lives just like Jesus did. Jesus, who ate with sinners, who just hung out with the worst of the worst, not to be like them, but to change them. God, we're in this world for a purpose. We have the relationships we do for a purpose, God, to lead them and to show them the way of Jesus. So help us to shine brightly for you, Lord, in our lives and in our relationships and the people around us. And let us be like Peter talked about. Let us be ready to give an answer to everybody that asks about the hope that is in us, about the life that we live is hopeful because we're living it for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for your encouragement today. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit today. Thank you for all, Lord, these wonderful folks in this congregation who love each other, who uphold your word, God, who are great examples of the love of Christ in their marriages. So this is going to translate down to their kids and down to their grandkids. And so, Father, we thank you today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we're going to close with a song as we always do. And it's a time just to reflect. Maybe as you sing this song, the Holy Spirit might just speak something into your heart that, you know, you need to just do different or do better or whatever. You might need prayer today physically, whatever reason. We invite you to just come to this altar as we sing. We want to pray with you and pray for you. Want to see you well. So you do that as we sing.